You are listening to BensTorah.com.
If the boy's going to take a cookie and he's going to give it to the girl, say, Hariya Mukadashis, she won't be Mukadashis. Because the Balabas gave him permission to eat it. There's no loisigzo. But he never gave him permission to be koinah. He was never makna to the guest. So that's a discussion in the later swarm after the Taz. They have the machlokes. Maybe the Leil Pesach, first tonight's at Pesach, according to the Rosh, that you really need Shalachem. According to the Rambam, there's no Shaila in the first place. The Rambam says, the Gemara never meant to say that you need Shalachem. The Rambam holds that a matzik zula is no good because mitzvah boba avera. He doesn't say it's no good because it's not Shalachem. But the Rosh holds matzik zula is no good. The Gemara meant to say lechem lechem. You learn Xerushava from Chalat to matzah. So the Rosh understood what it means is that you need Shalachem. So then it's an asik. Maybe you have to make a hachraza. You have to make an announcement. All the guests should have in mind to be kinda the matzah in order to be yotze the mitzvah.
Two questions. First of all, if a person is invited and he's not makna the food, he can eat the food and still not steal it. There's some part in between. I'm not being makna, but I'm letting you eat it.
If I sneak into your house and I sit on your furniture, I'm a gazlan. That's a shol shalom midas. If you open the door and you invite me, please sit down. You're not makna the couch to me. You give me permission to use it. So there's no loss sigzel.
But the food I can't take back. The couch I could.
The food itself understood. I'm giving you permission to eat the food. So there's no loss sigzel.
And if Pesach were on Shabbos, would I be able to be makna him on Shabbos?
The same Shaila on Pesach is on the weekdays. The prohibition of Mekach and Memkar is the same. Shabbos and Yontav the same. It's Gzeira Shema Yichtav. So for some reason or another, the Mishnah says if you go visit someone on Yontav, the Mishnah says you're allowed to give him a box of chocolates or a bunch of flowers or a bottle of wine. It says you're permitted to give a gift. So the Rishonim ask over there, what happened to the prohibition of Mekach and Memkar? So some Rishonim say it's b'makom mitzvah is mutar. This is considered makom mitzvah because of Simchas Yontif. And other Rishonim say that they never made the Gzera de Rabban on Merkech HaMemkeh. The Gzera Shem Yichtov was made either on Karka, because usually on Karka you keep records. Everyone in the municipality should know who owns the real estate. Or on Metaltlim if he didn't pay for it yet, because after right then he owes me money. Or a metaltalim, if let's say I give a maton, a metaltalim, you made a kinyan chalipin, but I didn't give it to you yet. I didn't give it yet. So then this is, someone's going to write it down. Someone may write it down to remember. What if I gave a matnas metaltalim miyad liyad? So it's not karka that you always write it down. And it's not that he owes me money, it's a matana. And it's not that I didn't deliver it yet, I gave matnas metaltal miyad liyad. So some poskim hold that matnas metaltal miyad liyad, there never was a gzera de rabban. That's a shayla, when you give a lulav, a matana manas lahachzer on yontif, so the bahag asked the question. Isn't, what happened to the gzera of mekach and memkar? Why isn't there gzera of mekach and memkar? When you give the matana manas lahachzer, so the bahag answered, the mordchayin, in Beitza, quotes the Bahag. So he says that b'makom mitzvah, they were never goyzer the gzeira shem yichta. That's the shalom. In the shuls, a lot of shuls, they give a gift to the bar mitzvah bocha, they give him a sefer, a chumash, a siddur, whatever. So the shaila is, if you hold that matnas metalplim miyad liyad, is het gomer, they were never goyzer, so you're allowed to give a bar mitzvah bocha a gift on Shabbos. But if you hold no, the only heter is because b'makom mitzvah goes with the way the Bahag said. So then, what's the big makom mitzvah? The bar mitzvah became a bar mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah to give him a
bar mitzvah.
No.
So I should be able to give a
bank
opinion of it.
Pidyon HaBen is a shvere chumer. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rivosh came up with this idea that if the Yom Lamed Aleph, you do Pidyon HaBen on the 31st day, if the Yom Lamed Aleph is on a Shabbos, you don't do Pidyon HaBen. So he gives, the Rivosh gives, I think, two reasons. He says, one is that it's Mekach or Memkar on the baby. He says, you're buying the baby. Very strange. Well, you're buying the baby. The baby belongs to the kohen. Very difficult. Then he talks about matnas kuna. There are mishnayis and beitzah that if I was mafresh truma and chala, have it around the house, and then I want to give it to the kohen on yontif, so that's exeris mekach memke. You're not allowed to give it. Yeah, but the Mishnah says, what if I shech the behema on yontif? Whenever you shech the behema, he's supposed to give at least an eretz yisof asher. He's supposed to give zrolach hayayim v'akeva. So if he shech it on yontif and the chiyuv to give the zrolach hayayim v'akeva was chal today on yontif, then you're allowed to give it on yontif. Let's say halosh isa b'yontif. Melisha the Yelach Achal Nefesh is Mutas. The person makes a dough on Yontif and he bakes a challah. He bakes challis on Yom Tov, likes to have fresh challis on Yom Tov. So if you needed the dough on Yom Tov and the chiyuv challah was challah on Yom Tov, then the Mishnah says you're allowed to give the challah to the kohen on Yom Tov because the chiyuv challah was challah on Yom Tov. So if the Yom Lamed Aleph is on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, so you should be allowed to do the pidyon ben. So you're not going to give cash. Cash is muktzah. So give him svarim. Give him a diamond. Give him something that shavah kesef. The Gemara says the same mitzvah. Whether you give kesef, you give shavah kesef. So the Achrayim say that the whole thing was Chumr zu mi bitno shal harivosh yotza. That's what he said. The Rivosh invented this chumra, and they don't think that in the days of the Rishonim they had this chumra. They think in the days of Rishonim they never had such a din. In din of the Gemara, the pashtus is that you are allowed to do the pidyon ben on Shabbos and Yom. You shouldn't be an is. Shouldn't be an is. Yeah. Well, the Rivosh lived a long time ago. So since then, everybody's following the Rivosh. Shadis, maybe we heard an earlier generation before the days of the Rivosh. Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1500s, and the Rivosh was before him. The Rivosh was the generation of the Ran. So that's already many centuries that we're not doing Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. But Mikra Adin, the Pashtus is one of the Gdolim, the Abba Tshuva from Baron Wolken. He was a Rav in Pinsk. Zekan Aaron is called. I forgot. Zekan Aaron is called. So he has a tshuva. One of the rabbanim, there was a ma'aser show. Yom Laman Alf was on Shabbos, and someone made a pidyon ben on the baby. I think they didn't use kesh; they used the shavah kesef. So the rab paskin that even b'diyeved the pidyon ben was not chal, and the bracha was a bracha. They got to do it over again. So he has a whole tshuva. He writes that's utterly ridiculous to say even b'diyeved is not chal, and that's where he develops this idea. He says. That's he uses that lashon that chumra zomi bitna shal harivosh yotza before the days of Rivosh never existed. Medina the Gemara the pashtus is that it's certainly muta to do the pidyon ben on Shabbos. The chiyuv to give the matan sun was chal on the yom laman ala, so you should be allowed to do it. It's a chumra. So nachmal, so let's go again. The Mishnah has if you have ma'aser sheni v'hegdish shenivdu, ma'aser sheni v'hegdish shenivdu. By the time I do the lisha, it belongs to me. It's no longer my sheni. If it's still my sheni at the time that I mix the flour with the water, that's machlekes Meir Reb Yudah. And we pass on like Reb Meir, that my sheni an exception to the rule. Usually Reb Meir Reb Yudah, Allah is Reb Yudah. Reb Yudah holds my sheni is mam and bailam. So if you lush isa with my sheni flour, Reb Yudah holds that it is chayiv in challah. We pass on like Reb Meir, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, the end of the second parak, we pass on like Reb Meir, my sheni is mam and gavoya. So since mam and gavoya, so calls man that it's my sheni, it won't be chayiv in afrash as challah. If I need the dough chutzli Yerushalayim, then the Gemara says in the end of chelik, in the end of Sanhedrin, that Bein L'Rab Meir, Bein L'Rab Meir, for sure, it's not chayiv in challah. That's the question. Why? The some Rishonim say because when it's chutzli Yerushalayim, all the Tanaim agree that it's mam and gavoya. No one holds mam and bailam. And most of the Rishonim hold that's not true. The Rab Yudah Shita, the Ma'aser Sheni is mam and bailam, is even chutzli Yerushalayim. But if the lechem haaretz is treif, Chutz Yerushalayim is treif. Ma'aser Sheni Yerushalayim is not allowed to eat it. So of course it's not chayv and challah. Then you're going to bring it to Yerushalayim. It doesn't become chayv and challah if at the tashas chayvasa, at the time of Lisha, it was butter, and then later on I bring it to Yerushalayim. It won't become chayv later on. So again, why should it be midirabban? No. Chutz Loretz, I made a chiyuv midirabbanan, no Chutz Loretz. No, but if I was a goy at the time of the Lisha, then I convert, and the Mishnah says, I'm not chay. You're not converted before the Afiyah. If I was a Nochri, or if it belonged to Hegdish at the time of the Lisha, time of the Gilgal, so it does become a chiyuv later on. Yeah, yeah. So if it would still be my Sushani at the time that I mixed the flour with the water, the Mishnah is for sure it's pot, and the Mishnah is Stam Mishnah like Reb Meir. And we pass like Reb Meir here, that my Sushani is Mom and Gavaya, and it's treated like Hegdish, and it's pot from Afrash Eschal, the same thing Hegdish. If the flour belongs to the Hegdish, and the Gizbar gets people to bake cake and cookies and challahs, and then he's going to auction off to the highest bid, people are going to be paid there. So at the time of the Lisha, the time of the Gilgal, the Mishnah calls Lisha Gilgal, when you mix the flour with the water. If Bishas the Gilgal, it was Hegdish, then it's Potter. Even though someone's going to be paid afterwards, it's not going to become Chayiv in challah. But if someone, it was Hegdash and Ivdu, it's Maisa Sheni, it was already, I was poited the Maisa Sheni before I mixed it with the water. I was poited the Hegdash before I mixed it with the water. So B'Shas Chai Vasa, at the time of Gilgal, it is Chai V'Chal. So then the Mishnah says it'll be Chai.
So if I steal a flower, and then I make it into lakam. Now b'shas, I'm making it b'shas, when I'm making it into lakam, I'm not b'chuyev kala because it's not kalachem. At that point, I should be b'chuyev kala. Afterwards, I find the person who I steal it from, and he's mochelbi, or I buy it off of him. Do I have to give kala after that? B'shas.
So that's the Gemara that he's talking about. The Gemara, if I steal from someone and I make a shinui, so if I stole it as grain and I grind it up, so grinding it to make it into flour, that's a shinui. So shinui is kind and that it belongs to me. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, Hareisha gozal so shal chitim. The Gemara in the end of Baba Kamen, first Perikon Sanhedrin has, Hareisha gozal so shal chitim. The guy stole a whole bushel of grain. Tchona, he grinds it up. And he losha, he kneads it with water. Va'afo, he bakes it. Hifish menachala in mafish chala, and he says a bracha ala frashas truma, frashas chala, whatever bracha he says. So the Brisa says, ein ze mevarach ala menaitz. That's not considered a blessing. He's over an aver over here. It's a mitzvah bo aver. So Taisus has a discussion. Why is a mitzvah baba aver? But if he was kind of, the Gemara says, it was kind of bishinui. If you steal something and you mashana it, if I steal something, I steal grain and I grind it up and I make flour out of it, so the Gemara considers that a shinui. So if shinui is kind of, so then he is chai v'chala. So why is it a bracha about tola? So Taisus has one opinion, bracha shiny. Even though you yotze the mitzvah, but you still shouldn't say a bracha. A bracha, birchas ha-mitzvah, is in a certain sense also the Rama writes Bichas HaMitzvah is a matir, just like HaShemayim Shemayim Hashem Haaretz Nasan Levnei Adam, that you're not allowed to be nenim in Oilam Hazeh until you say a bracha. So the Gemara had, the Yerushalmi has a lashon Bichas Zuhi Pidyona, when you say the Bichas HaNenin before you eat the food, it's as if you pay them in a hegdish. Really, everything in the world belongs to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and nenim in Oilam Hazeh below bracha is like mu'al, like me'ila behegdish. But if you say a bracha, then the bracha Bichas Zuhi Pidyona. So the Rama says, just like the Chacham made a takana to recite Birchas HaNenin, so too they made a takana to recite Birchas HaMitzvah. I mean, just like so too, what's the tzushta? Just like they made a takana to say Birchas HaNenin, so too you say Asher Yotzev, you go out of the bathroom. What does one got to do with the other? So too you say a bracha when you see a shooting star or when you hear thunder. What's Kishem? So from the Ramam is Mashman, that's the Ram. So Leji used to say, Yosef Engel has like this, Barichas, that the Chacham made a takana that is also to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can't just run in and do a mitzvah. It's also to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu unless you first recite a bracha. Just like you need a Birchas HaNenim to be matir, to be nenim in Olam Hazeh, so you need a Birchas HaMitzvah to give you permission to do a mitzvah. You have to have rishus to do the mitzvah. So that's what Taisus develops an idea. If I stole the flour, if I stole the grain and I ground it up and I'm kind of bishinui and it's mamish mine, then there's no longer mitzvah bab avera, but still bracha shiny. How can you say a bicha? How can you say bichas hamitzvah? Bichas hamitzvah means that now it's permissible for me to do this mitzvah. It was not permissible. The whole thing started off by avera. I started off by stealing it.
But it is
chal. I'm the mitzvah. Yeah, it's chal. Yeah. It's not a mitzvah b'aveir. I was going to before I started to do the mitzvah. Once I ground up the flour, so it's already mine. Once it's mine, so it's mitzvah b'aveir. They said the mitzvah b'aveir is only if the aveir is done before I'm kaina. But if I was already kaina first and then I do the mitzvah, so that's ancient history. The fact that I did an Avera. The fact that the Avera enabled me to do the mitzvah, that's not enough to be called mitzvah baba Avera.
I steal a lulav on Monday, and Yom Tov is Friday.
Right, because the chefze is a chefze hagozel. You're not allowed to fulfill a mitzvah, but a chefze, that's called a chefze shel aveira. I have a kinyan gzela, but if you have a shinoi on it, it's no longer called a gozel. It's not a dobra gozel. It's mine already, a regular kinyan. It's not a kinyan gzela. It's a kinyan goma. Tosis has a big machlek, it's the re and the rabbinic time. So that's how we assume. Once you're kaina, there's no longer a mitzvah baba aver, but bracha shiny, you still may not say a bracha. So again, Nachamal. So if you have flour from Maisu Sheni and you make bread Chutz Lirushalayim, that's the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin. And L'chol Adeis, even the Reb Yudah, you're not chayiv in Chalid because L'chol Adeis is Mamon Gavoya, which I'll be pashed. This is not correct, or because it's trefa bread. So trefa bread is no chayiv chal. When is there Machleg Zamer Reb Yudah? If you have Maisu Sheni in Yerushalayim, and then the Gemara says we pass like Reb Meir, Maisu Sheni is Mamon Gavoya. It's called Hegdish. So just like Hegdish Eloy Nifde is not chayiv in Chala because the pasuk says the ratios are risoy seichem shalachem velo shal hegdish. So hegdish is pata, maaseh sheni is called hegdish, also pata. But if maaseh sheni behegdish shenivdu, and then I mix the flour with the water, so that's ancient history that it used to be hegdish, used to be maaseh sheni. But now when I do the gilgal, the shas chavasa for chala, it belongs to me. So then I will be chayiv. That's what the mission says. Then I will be chayiv. Maaseh haimer is also the same thing. What is maaseh haimer? The next line in Mishnah Gimel. The Bez Nagadol used to harvest a lot of barley. The Mincha Zayma was barley. Usually a normal Mincha is wheat. The Mincha Zayma, like Minchas Seita, was from barley. So they used to have a lot of barley, and they used to sift it through the Rosh Chodesh Gemara 13 times, and they used less than 10%, I think. They used a little bit. An Aymer, a Sirus Eifa. They used the Naimer, and the rest they would auction off to the highest bidder, and they would be paid the Minah Hegdish. So what's the Aimer itself, the Makar van the Mizbech. So, yeah. First the Hegdish bought everything. And then they would grind it up. And then they would sift it.
And it makes a Hegdish, the fact that they bought it?
Yeah. You pay for with Mammon and Machzah Shekel money. So it becomes Hegdish. And then they would only use Asiris Eif for the Omer as Asiris Eif, and then the rest they would auction off to the highest bidder. So at the time of the Meruach, it belonged to Hegdish. At the time of Habar Shalish, probably belonged to a farmer when it was growing on the ground. At the time of the Meruach, it belonged to Hegdish. So it wouldn't be chayv in Shumas and Maises, because for the purpose of Shumas and Maises, you need B'shas Chavasa Meruach. But for the purpose of Chiyuv Chala, since someone was paid it, and then he mixes it with water, so that B'shas Chavasa for Chiyuv Chala, it belongs to me. I was already paid it. That's called Moisa Haimer. The flour that's left over after the Hegdish uses Asiris Eifer for the Omer, and all the rest, they had 10 times as much to 20 times as much flour that they really needed. They would only take a small percentage of it. So that's like Hegdish and Ifda. That's Hegdish and Ifda. Yeah, so the Mishnah, Nachamal, just to read, the Mishnah is saying there are certain things that are chay mechala and potter from Chumas and Maises for various reasons. Here the Hegdish with the Maises Sheni is potter from Chumas and Maises because B'shas Chavasa of Meruach, it belonged to Hegdish. Or B'shas Chavasa Meruach, it was Maises Sheni. So that's, so Maises Sheni is Hegdish. Mama Gavai means that I treat it like Hegdish. So that's not Chayv and Shumas and Maaseh. But by the time I mix the flour with the water, that's the Shas Chavasa for the purpose of Chalas. And then I was already paid it. So that's why it's Chayv and Chalas. And the first couple cases, also the same thing. Leket Shikra Peya is Potter of Shumas and Maaseh based on the Pasuk, and Hefka is Potter. All of that because it was Leket Shikra Peya before the Meruah. So that's a Ptur. And it was Hefka before the Meruach. But that's not Negeh Techala. That's ancient history. When it comes to Chala, the Shas Chavasa is the Lisha. So at the time of the Lisha, that's ancient history, the fact that it was Leket Shikhape. So in such a case, Leket Shikhape would be Chayiv in Chala, even though it's part of Chumas Samaisus. We have a Mishnah later. There's a din Aser Tasa and Parshas Rei. Aser Tasa is called Tveros Arecha Hayotzi Hasod Shona Shona. So the Gemara in the end, the Pcharis learns out of din Shana Shana. You can't be mafrish Mishana al Chavata. I have Tvua that grew in Tavshin Ayin Dalet, Tvua that grew Tavshin Ayin Gimel. So you can't be mafrish from one year on the other. Even if the both years are the same. If one year is a Maisa on a year, one year is a Maisa Sheni year, so it's not the same. Even if it's years not one and two, or years four and five, that are exactly the same. True Magdala, Maisa Rish, Maisa Sheni, still a Pasik, Aser Tasa, Shana Shani. You can't be Mafish, Mishana, Al Chabata. So how do you determine How do you determine whether the Paris, let's say Rosh Hashanah, is Echad B'Tishrei? Rosh Hashanah, Echad B'Tishrei. So what, the Paris are like Yekis, they grow in between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. They're sloppy. They start growing before Rosh Hashanah, they grow into, after Rosh Hashanah. So how do you know which year it belongs to? So the Gemara says, in Tvua it goes Basa Habashlish. What year did the Habashlish occur in? When the Habashlish occurred, it belongs to that year. So if you have Tvua that had a Habashlish in the first year, Tvua had a Habashlish in the second year, it can't be Mafish Mishan Al Chavato, even B'Diyevit the din is that it's not Chal. Shana Shana, even B'Diyevit it's not Chal. So the Mishnah says later that by Chala also there's a din. It can't be Mafish Mishan Al Chavato. I mean, Achadosh Allah Yoshan. Chodesh means from the new year, Yoshan is the old year, it can't be Mafish. There's a Yerushalmi on that Mishnah that many Yerushalmis are not so well known in Mashlech Eschala, but this one is quoted by Dushach in Yerideya. So it's a Yerushalmi that Dushach quotes in Yerideya that's pretty obvious that din of it can't be Mafish Chala Mishan Al-Chavet is only Midi Rabbanim. And our Torah only applies to Trumas and Maisis. Aser Tassis, Kol Tvua Asarech, Shana Shana, by Trumas and Maisis, it's not Chal B'Yevit. And by Chala, it's only a din Midi Rabbanim. So how do you decide by Chala what's called Mishan Al-Chavet? So the Achrayim say, if the din would have been like Rab Lezer at the end of Mishnah Gimel, Rab Lezer holds that just like Tvua Shloh Hevia Shlish, is not chayv in Shumas and Maisis, because Eitz B'Alma, it's not yet called pre. It's not it's considered not yet edible. So who adinami he holds when he get to Chala also, if it's lo hevi shlish, it's Eitz B'Alma, so it's the same as Shumas and Maisis. Which year did it have the Havo HaShlish in? Whatever had Havo HaShlish in the second year belongs to the second year. Whatever had Havo HaShlish in the first year belongs to the first year. But we don't pass him like Rab Lezer. We pass him, you don't need Havo HaShlish. So to determine what's called Mishan Al Chavata doesn't depend on Havo HaShlish. But you have to have some minimum amount. What, let's say, the Tvua just started to grow, the Chamesh and Smin Dogon started to grow a little bit before Rosh Hashanah. Hamashu. If you grind it up, you wouldn't be able to make, if you cut it, chop it up and make flour, you wouldn't be able to make any dough with it. It's not going to work. So it has to grow, a minimum has to be shachas. Shachas has to grow a little bit that it should be roy to make flour out of it, that it should be shaykh to make a dough out of it. So they say the shear is not going to be havo shlish, Allah HaLamayis, if we don't pass like Blazer, she will be shachas, whatever shear that is. That's hard to gauge. Hard to gauge what havo shlish is also. But for the purpose of Shana Al-Chavato, by Chala, they say, the Poskim say, it doesn't depend on Havo HaShlish, because we don't pass like our place. Let me just close another din. The Rishonim all have a din, and the Rambam says, some of the Goyim debated this. We have a din in Hegdish. Hegdish Shav Emana, Shechila Shav Puta Mechulo. The Mishnais have in Perek HaZohav, there's a din of Aino'ah. Let's say I sell you a bottle of soda and I charge you $20. A bottle of soda doesn't cost $20. So that's Oinoa. So the dinim sometimes you have a right to back out from the whole deal. Sometimes the deal is on, you can ask, I should reimburse you how much I cheated you. And by Hegdish, there's no din of Oinoa. L'chatchila, you're not allowed to cheat Hegdish. Hegdish shouldn't cheat me either, but I'm not allowed to cheat Hegdish. But yeah, but if somebody cheated the other one, so there's no din of Aino, so the pigeon Hegdish remains. So the Gemara has that astonishing din. Hegdish is worth $100,000, Sheva Mana. Shechila Sheva Prut, I give a penny and I'm paid at the whole Hegdish. So B'diyevit it's good. L'chatchila it's also to cheat Hegdish, and B'diyevit it's good. The Gemara said, B'zman hazeh, we even allow it L'chatchila. Let's say some chacham, the Gemara says, Ein magdish B'zman hazeh. You're not allowed to be magdish something. What are you going to gain by being magdish? Someone's going to be moil b'hegdish. But the Gemara says, some oibah chacham, where's magdish his palace? Palace is worth $1 million. So what's the chacham of magdish a palace? There's no gizbar to auction off to the highest bidder to be paid. So that's a michshol. Someone's magdish something is a michshol. So the Gemara says, "Ei magdishim is manazeh." The Gemara says in the end of Temura, if someone was a magdish, a machrimim, yeah. So if someone was magdish bismanazeh, so the Gemara says, "Give $5 and be paid in shine, and then the $5 you should throw to the Yam HaMelech, you should destroy." So the Gemara says, "Why do you have to give? Why $5? It's worth $1 million." Because Hegdish Avamana Shechila Shavet Putim Chul. So why don't you give a pruta? Why are you giving $5? It's a bizoyan. To give a pruta is a bizoyan. To give $5. Okay. Sure, so you give $5. So the Rishonim, the Ruba of the Rishonim say that din Heg the Shavman, Shechel Shavah Putta Mechulal applies to Maaseh Sheni Bizman Hazeh. That Maaseh Sheni Bizman Hazeh, and Eretz Yisrael, they have tons and tons of Maaseh Sheni. Tens of thousands of dollars worth of Maaseh Sheni on years number 1, 2, 4, 5. So what do they do with the Maaseh Sheni? They're all paid. What do they do with all the money? They put all the money in the Yam HaMelech. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars every year. So the meaning is that we treat Maaseh Sheni like Hegdish, and Hegdish, b'dieved, if you would cheat Hegdish, you give a pruta, it would be Mechulo, and Mizman Hazeh, but there's no pseida to the Hegdish, no pseida to the Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni is not going to gain anything. We'll just have to throw thousands of dollars into the Yam HaMelech. So since Maaseh Sheni is not losing anything, so we even allow it l'chatchila. So the Rambam quotes that the Regoinim who say not so, that Bizman Hazeh, you got to be paid in the Maaseh Sheni on Shavyo. And he says that we don't pass like that. We pass in Tosus and the Rambam. So the Achronim asks, where in the world did the Rishonim get this idea from? Where did they get this idea from? The din of Heg, the Shavaman, Shechilo, Shavaputim, Chol, how do they know to apply it to Maaseh Sheni? So the Vilna Goyen writes in his commentary on Yerideh and Hilchas Shin Lamed Aleph, as Rabbi Yosef Kar lived in Eretz Yisrael, but the tour didn't. The whole Shulchan Aruch is based on the tour. So the tour lived in the Chutzlor. So the tour wrote in Shin Lamed Aleph, one simon, he wrote all the mitzvahs, all trumas and mices, everything is one in one simon. So there in Shin Lamed Aleph, so the Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary, what is the Makar? This depends on the Machlekes or Meir Rav Yudah. If the din would have been like Rav Yudah, the Maaseh Sheni is Mam and Bailim, then there's no din of Hegdu Shavon Shechilo Shavuputim Mechul. The mazal is we pass like Reb Meir, the Gemara says. The Maaseh Sheni Mama Gavoy. And Mama Gavoy means that I call it Hegdish. And if it's Hegdish, then the din of Hegdish applies. Hegdu Shavon Shechilo Shavuputim Mechul. That's also a Chiddush. What the Vilna Gaon said is also a Chiddush. So the Nesiv writes in his commentary on the Shiltas, he writes a Loshen, Divri Hagra Eino Tzvich Mechizuk. They don't have to give any rise that the Vilna Gaon is right, but it just so happens that it's black and white Yerushalmi. And he tells you where the Yerushalmi is, and Masech is Maaseh Sheni. Yerushalmi says this whole shtickle ter, that it depends on Rav Meir, Rav Yudah. So the Vilna Gaon says, since that's a Yerushalmi, since we pass on like Rav Meir, an exception to the rule, usually Rav Meir, Rav Yudah, Lach, Rav Yudah. Since we pass on like Rav Meir, the Maaseh Sheni is Maman Gavoya, so we call it Hegdish. So with Hegdish, it has that din, that Hegdish Shavamana, Shechilo Shavaputim Mechul, even though there's no correspondence whatsoever, the Maaseh Sheni is worth tens of thousands of dollars, and you're paid down a pruto. So that's the halach, Eina Noah LeHegdishis. The din of Ainoah doesn't apply to Hegdish, and therefore doesn't apply to Maaseh Sheni as well. Okay? Believe that, we'll have to continue next one. The philosophers from the Middle Ages, some of the Rishonim, spoke about tefillah. They were bothered with a kasha mimonavshach. A person davens for refuah, the person davens for parnas, the person davens for shidduch, whatever. Monavshach, if he deserves the parnas, if he deserves the shidduch, if he deserves the refuah, so the Baruch Shalom is going to give it to him, even if he doesn't ask. And if he doesn't deserve it, so he shouldn't deserve it, even if he doesn't ask. So what is the koyach of tefillah? What is davening all about? It's not logical. Why is your davening wrong? So some of the philosophers came up with a suggestion that if the person doesn't deserve, but he davens and he's nichna, he humbles himself in front of the Rebbe Shalom, so then he becomes more deserved. And then, even if he didn't deserve it before, but now that he's demonstrating his humility, so man, now maybe he does deserve it. So the Nesivus has an essay on this. Nesivus has, in addition to all of his other svarim and halacha, has a sefer on Chumash. He was a rabbi in a kehillah, so he had to give drushas. He had to live a hespedim. So he has a sefer at Nachlas Yankiv, which has, in the end of the sefer, he has Shabbos and Shuvas, important Shabbos and Shuvas. In the beginning, is all drushas. So he quotes that those philosophers said like this, he doesn't agree. He thinks that 100% wrong. You have in this week's Sedra Chiddush in Parshas Vayera that not only does tefillah help for myself, I daven, I need a shidduch for my children, and I need parnasa, and I need a refuah shleima. There's a concept of a person davening for somebody else. When Avimelech Melech Gror took Sora, so the Rebbe Shalom tells him, Hashav Esh Yisayish, Ki Novi Hu Vispalo Batcha Bechiyei. Avram Avinu is a Novi, and he will daven for you. If you'll daven, it's worthless. Avram Avinu is a tzaddik. And even in a diamond tefillah, tzaddik ben Rosha, tzaddik ben tzaddik. A tzaddik ben tzaddik is a better tefillah. But one who's a Navi, one who's a tzaddik, his tefillah is worth more than the tefillahs of Avimelech, Melech, Plishtim, and Gror. So the Baruch Shalom says, you better give back Hashem Eseshish, ki Navi hu yispal abad chavecheyah. If he will daven for you, then the tefillahs will be mekubal. So Avimelech is not becoming nichna, he's not davening for himself. Someone else is davening for him. So that's what the Nesiva says. This is from the Seudas Habriya. The Rabbanu Shel Olam created a world, and part of the world, the way he set up the system is, if you fill out the form in triplicate, so you get what you're asking for. You have to daven shachris min alayah. You don't daven, you don't get. Hastagut the kasha. Why is it so? The Gemara comments on the pasuk kirum zulos livnei adam, a pasuk in Tilim. The Gemara in Bracha says that tfilos from the dvarim ha'am dem rum shaloylam, but the adam is also lebehem. People are not careful about davening. It's considered one of the very serious things. The Gemara talks about different people have different kinds of taibas. People have a taiva for men, have a taiva for women. People have a taiva for food, for money, all kinds of taivas. The Baruch Shalom also has taivas. He doesn't have taivas for a human being. The Baruch Shalom has taivas. Mara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaveh letfilah sam shal tzadikim. The Baruch Shalom has a taiva, whatever that means. We don't understand what it means. The Baruch Shalom has a taiva. But these are dvarim ha'am demruv mishalom. So he says he doesn't think that the answer that they gave is correct at all. That's sometimes that'll be a valid answer. When a person is misfalov, so he humbles himself, so now he does deserve. Before he was a little arrogant and he didn't deserve. But here you have in the pasuk, someone else is davening for him. He's not humbling himself at all. Tfilah epis from the Seudas Habriya, we don't understand. I think Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that's the first time you have in Tanakh that someone davens for someone else. Is this week's parsha. He's followed by Tcho, Bechayek. We should all daven for ourselves.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.